It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Wilson back in. Good to see Willie J. You can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio. At Willie J Radio on Twitter is where you find him. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. And open phones throughout the show. From time to time, we are pretty loaded up. Mitch Sherman will be with us from The Athletic, his usual Tuesday spot. In about 20 minutes, Coach McBride, I'm sure, caught some fish yesterday. So we'll talk with Charlie, a Monday with Charlie on Tuesday. Coach McBride in 1 hour. And then we'll hit some recruiting thoughts and that summer season where coaches once again can get out and see prospects. We'll talk to Coach Rick Kaczynski at 525. Numbers to get in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. And those are the numbers to dial up. On our mind today, between recruiting and some of the things going on with Nebraska football, baseball, as Nebraska baseball did their job this weekend. They've kind of reconfigured things on Sunday to have a doubleheader on Saturday, 2-3 against Michigan. And since Nebraska had their hiccup against Rutgers, 11 out of 13. That is one way to close the season. And Nebraska's reward yesterday, hey, go see Dave Van Horn. He's missed you. And you're headed to Fayetteville. Do you know anybody going down to Fayetteville? Anyone taking the road trip down to the Arkansas Regional? Ooh. For years, it was kind of a pilgrimage. Folks would go down to Bricktown for the Big 12 baseball tournament. And when it was in Omaha, when the Big 10 played their postseason tournament, folks would find their way to TD Ameritrade Park when it was a host spot. But there's been a range of emotions. Interested to get where you're at as a Nebraska baseball fan. Are you pissed? Are you still PO'd more than 24 hours later? Are you annoyed? But listen, you've been a Nebraska fan in the Big Ten now for a decade, so you're waiting for something bad to happen? Or are you just like this baseball team? Don't care. Shut up and go win. Because that's the mentality, that's the attitude they're going to take. Here's Will Bolt's reaction after the announcement yesterday, his presser out at Haymarket Park.
It's exciting. All the drama was taken out of it early, just being one of the first teams up there. Regardless of where you go, who you play, it's going to be a good challenge. I mean, like I said, after the game on Saturday, it's 5 wins to Omaha, no matter how you draw it up. And, you know, obviously our whole focus right now is finding out a way to beat Northeastern.
Give me 5 wins, and that's what I'd expect from the Big Ten Coach of the Year. That is Will Bolt's DNA, can have, can do attitude. And if you're a Nebraska baseball fan, you don't want to go out. You don't want this magic season to end. And if it does end, do you want it going out with a whimper? Or do you want it going out against the best in college baseball? And as we speak right now, Nebraska's got to handle their business to get an opportunity against Arkansas. Arkansas has got to focus in, obviously, and they can sleepwalk and still roll the New Jersey Institute of Technology. So we think that's not what Dave Van Horn's preaching. So we'll see what Saturday brings us. Nebraska, Northeastern, 7 o'clock on Friday. First things first, first step first. But, you know, if I'm Nebraska, I'm probably ticked. I'm saying all the right things. Jackson Hallmark, you saw some of his footage, and dude's got world-class hair, and he's got this smile, this eerie smile that's like, don't care, let's just go play baseball, let's go do our thing. Now, Nebraska said all the right things. Internally, there's always been fire with this baseball team this year. They've been undersold and underbilled all year, and they've conquered. They won the regular season championship by 3.5, didn't get a chance to go 2-for-2 with a postseason conference tournament because the Big Ten didn't have any. So where's the blame lie here? Is it Big Ten or is it NCAA? And to me, the NCAA made it pretty clear with the old fraternity paddle, right? Big Ten was going to get slapped. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That happened in softball. It happened in baseball. And Nebraska, the Big Ten, the only league other than the get your wine drinking pinky out, other than the Ivy League, to not have a postseason conference tournament. Okay, Pac-12. Postseason tournament, SEC, Big 12, ACC, go down the list. And people were playing baseball. So I need a why. Are you hiding under the cloak of COVID? Yes. But let's talk dollars and cents. How many baseball programs make money or bleed money for teams in the Big Ten, those that have baseball? Probably a lot. Nebraska is unique. Most years, it bills well. When they're good, it bills great. Everywhere else, I mean, Michigan kind of gives a damn about their baseball program, especially now after a World Series run 2 years ago. Indiana's got a nice park. Indiana's pretty good. Illinois's been pretty decent over the years. Ohio State, Maryland, right? They're kind of newbies to the league. Not really, but sort of. So there is some... There are some programs that have good baseball programs and have been okay and consistent. Michigan, yes. Nebraska looks to be there. As I, you know, jump the assumption here and say Nebraska, this is more of what's to come from Will Bolden, Nebraska baseball. This isn't a flash in the pan. This is sweet. Now, this is what Will Bolden's been brought in to do, and he's going to do. The NCAA has been very clear, and they didn't have a data point to reference. There's no matchup against Oregon State. There's no non-conference showdown against some of the Big 12 teams or Wichita State midweek, or there's no Arkansas coming to town or somebody from the SEC. There's no hookup with A&M. You just didn't have that. So I'm not excusing the Big Ten or the NCAA. But the NCAA's take as to, look, you didn't play anybody except those within your league, and we don't think your league's very good, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to send your conference champ off to Arkansas, and meanwhile, Michigan and Maryland will have not great seedings in at 3, but way more favorable regionals to try and get out alive and get to a super regional. So that's what's kind of backwards. But if I had to, you know, put my conspiracy eye, you know, shades on right now, I'm going to say the Big Ten just, they were looking to save a buck. And I think they used COVID as an excuse. I have no proof of that. I'm just a madman right now speculating as to why you'd hose softball and baseball while letting basketball for sure go do their ACC Big Ten challenge indoors. For basketball season, you had a strong-as-hell basketball league with, what, 9 teams get in the NCAA tournament this year for basketball. It's not uniform, and it continues to be reinforced where what the Big Ten thinks of baseball and what they care about with baseball, and the NCAA followed suit with a backhanded slap. As for me, if I'm going to put my big red fan hat on, am I ticked off they're going to Arkansas? I want to see this. I would have preferred to see Nebraska Arkansas in a super regional. It's just getting moved up. I'm not counting Nebraska out. Maybe I'm crazy. Drug test me, give me a breathalyzer, do what you will. But let's see where Nebraska goes with this, right? You've got phenomenal players. You've got a fire that's burning. Thank you, disrespect. Thank you, Big Ten. Thank you, NCAA. This team showed a lot of backbone with their response to the end of the season. We've highlighted that. So how do they come out against Northeastern, focused or disgruntled? I would put my money and Will Wilson's money down that they're going to be focused. They want the opportunity. They'll embrace the hate or the haters, and they'll go do their best. Are they more talented than Arkansas? No. Can they find a way to beat Arkansas? Crazier things have happened. As good as Arkansas baseball has been, with all due respect, they don't have a national championship under Dave Van Horn, and he's been there for a long time. They've had the opportunity to win one and haven't. Okay? So pressure's on them. And if I'm Arkansas, I'm like, I know these storylines are juicy, but Dave Van Horn can't be that thrilled. You arguably have the hottest baseball team in the country, one of them, coming in as Nebraska. And you probably just as soon get some other slappy two seed, not named Nebraska, not coached by Will Bolt. So that's kind of where I'm at. Let's see how the cards play out. If I'm Nebraska, put yourself in position. You got nothing to lose. And again, not moral victory guy, but this could be another springboard setup like Nebraska baseball had 20 plus years ago, where they get out of a regional, they get to the super regional, and they're within a few outs away of taking down one of the favorites in Stanford at Sunken Diamond. Didn't happen. And what happened next, and my old boss Aaron Babcock was with Nebraska baseball at the time, Dave Van Horn had the Stanford dog pile blown up like life size and put right on the wall as Nebraska walked into their locker room. So every image, the first image they saw coming in from practice the following year, was the Stanford dog pile that kept Nebraska from going to the College World Series. They had an incredible season, went to the first College World Series. A lot of you were there in Omaha at Rosenblatt with that sea of red, right? And so Nebraska can use whatever happens this weekend as continued momentum. And that's what I see from this season. Between Anderson, between Povich, between Schwelly, between Hallmark. I mean, you've got a cast of characters that give so much to their teammates, so much to this team, so much to this state. Let's give them a shot against the top dog and see how they perform. Worst case, it'll be a learning experience. Best case, that glass slipper still fits, and they're not Cinderella. They're really a good baseball team. They can pitch, they can hit, they play defense, they make contact, they're selfless. They have all the components of a team that can get to Omaha. It's just a son of a gun. You need four-wheel drive and an Iditarod group of Huskies to get you through this this terrain.
Yeah, so I hear you saying, you know, don't count them out, and I agree. You know, I feel like we were kind of saying that with that Oklahoma State regional, right? Just a few years back, you know.
And, that was awesome until that one pitch.
Right, and that's still in our minds, right?
Dude, it was sweet, and then, oh, sweet Lord. It was there.
And we had the confidence then, so, like, I'm kind of afraid to have that same confidence now because, you know, you just don't know, but I'm with you, man.
Dude, I think Nebraska baseball fans super realistic about the challenge this weekend. But if you just go out and you get beat, guess what? Most people are going to go get beat by Arkansas.
Right.
They are. But put yourself in position. What has been tough for Nebraska baseball fans to take is going 0-2 and you're done. Right, you get to the postseason, you have a good regular season, you do okay in the Big Ten tournament, and then you're out. You're out quick in postseason, right? And let's see if Nebraska may not get out of the regional. But let's see how they fight. Let's see what they do. And the storyline is great. We've had Dave Van Horn on this show a few times, and he's what he did at Nebraska to like at least give you some hope that it can be recreated again. And now you got kind of Van Horn Jr. in a lot of people's eyes in Will Bolt. That's special. That's really cool. And it's really cool to see what Nebraska did after a shortened season a year ago. We'll talk with Pat Casey tomorrow, Oregon State's retired head coach, three-time national champion. Get his take on the regional, on the seeding, and just, you know, his take on Nebraska baseball and Arkansas. And he'll be flying into the Oregon regional. So we'll catch him tomorrow night at 5. But I'm anxious to get his perspective because he's a guy that like just built and built and built and built and built for about a decade, and then bang, they exploded through to go be mainstays in Omaha. And there's been a lot of crossover between Nebraska and Oregon State baseball with some of the non-conference games that have taken place down in Arizona. So we'll talk with Pat Casey tomorrow. Mitch Sherman, he's covered a lot of Nebraska baseball in his time. Get his takeaways on what happened yesterday, the outlook in this Fayetteville regional for Nebraska. It is camp season. It is workout season. It is official visit time. And some names to watch, some updates to give you as Nebraska is on that Cruton trail for the rest of their 2022 class and beyond. Couple of in-state prospects that have offers, which is great. High level of talent in this state. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Thanks for spending time. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Will Wilson in. We say hi to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how's your Tuesday? Thanks for the time, man.
My Tuesday is fantastic. How about you, Chris?
Good, man. I just checked in with Junior. He has had football. He has had baseball. He has had basketball camp, and he'll have baseball practice tonight. So no gaming after 10 p.m. tonight.
That's all today. That's impressive. We've had baseball, swimming. We're back at the pool. And it continues. There's basketball camp later this week. 4-on-4 basketball, baseball games. Yeah, this is the week where like summer really starts.
So your pool side, yay or nay on the interview?
I'm not. I've been at the pool on three different occasions today, but never in the pool. Always in like drop off mode or something like that.
Well, yeah. That's all right. You'll get some sun and fun shortly after the taxi service is done. But good stuff. So, what's kind of been the emotion, the feedback from your readers? Or just from what you've observed on social media, do you think Nebraska baseball fans are ticked? Is that more of where the crowd's leading? Or do you think it's more, well, it sucks, but hey, let's see what the kids can do against Arkansas? Kind of what's been the reaction and feedback on your end?
Well, it's kind of a mixed bag. You know, I think there's some people who are maybe misinterpreting the media narrative that has been out there, and I contributed to this, that the Big Ten did its member schools no favors, or there's also the way to look at it. And I think there's a little of both, although I definitely come down harder on the Big Ten than I do the NCAA selection committee. I think the selection committee had its hands tied with what to do with these Big Ten teams, and Nebraska had to absolutely leave no doubt to get a home regional, and that went out the window the weekend of the Rutgers series. It could have absolutely given Nebraska a better spot, and sorry about that. That would have made sense, but it didn't happen, and I think you can look straight at the Big Ten. I think there are some people in the fan base who are you know, looking at, listening to the narrative and say, Nebraska's just complaining again. That's all Nebraska does is complain, and, you know, you equate it back to football. And look, that's not what the team is saying. That's not what Will Bolt is saying. You know, I'm saying, and some others in my position are saying, that the Big Ten screwed over these programs, these baseball teams, but I don't. Nebraska didn't say that at all. Nebraska, in interviews yesterday, you know, they said we don't care. You know, to quote Jackson Hallmark and his trademark words, apparently. So I think that yeah, Nebraska's approaching this the right way, and I do think there are some fans who are, you know, upset that either the Big Ten or the NCAA gave Nebraska the short end of the stick, and all the Big Ten teams got it. But, you know, that there are others who just want to see Nebraska, you know, go out and do something in the postseason.
So has this or will this be addressed to Big Ten leadership by its baseball community?
I don't know what you can do. I mean, the Big Ten leadership or the Big Ten coaches were united in the winter in wanting to play a non-conference season, wanting to play a season like the rest of the country was getting, and it wasn't in the cards with the Big Ten leadership. Now, you're not going to be in this situation, presumably, again, or not anytime in the near future. You're not going to be in a situation where you have to make that kind of decision next year and the year after. So there's a bigger issue about the commitment that the league has to baseball in general. And I thought before this pandemic began that we were moving and was going to be more committed to baseball than it had ever been because of the success, not just of Michigan, but of other programs in getting deep into the NCAA tournament, of getting four or five teams in the tournament at a time. There was a point not that long ago when the Big Ten would get a couple teams in and be fine with that, and we were beyond that. And I feel like we've taken some steps back. And when we get to next year, you're going to find out if this was a blip because of the pandemic and all the specific circumstances, the unique circumstances that existed, or if the Big Ten has had a change because maybe of some financial realities that, again, are related to COVID. And that's going to be an important next step for the Big Ten and baseball. And, yeah, I'm sure that coaches and people who are in the baseball community are going to stress the importance of being committed to the sport, but we'll see how the league responds.
Mitch Sherman's with us from The Athletic, Hale Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter, talking Nebraska off to Fayetteville and the bigger picture of the Big Ten and baseball commitment. So let's fast forward to this weekend, Mitch. And, you know, what does your gut say? Say Nebraska handles Northeastern, and I expect Nebraska to do that because they've always had the right mentality and mindset of that don't care, and they've been so mature with their focus, and then the executions obviously followed. You know, how can Nebraska get this done against Arkansas if it comes down to it?
Get ahead and stay ahead, and don't let Kevin Copps come into the game and throw four innings to shut things down or whatever he does. He's not just a closer, you know. He leads the Hogs in innings pitched, I believe, and you know, leads the nation in ERA. You know, obviously is a super prospect. So you want to keep him out of the game. I don't know if there's really any way to do that, but if he does come in, you want to have the lead. So you better start and take that crowd out of the game too. That would be a major thing too, because Baum Stadium is Haymarket souped up a couple levels or several levels. This is Dave Van Horn building Haymarket Park and then going to Arkansas, having a stadium to work with, and using all the things that he learned about Nebraska and that stadium, and not having to share it with an independent league team, having all the say and all the power and all the money, and just building that thing up. It's bigger and louder and more intimidating than much more so than it was when he got to Arkansas 20 years ago. I mean, it's an amazing thing that this was 2002, 19 years ago when he left Nebraska. But his, you know, his fingerprints are all over that program and all over that stadium, and the home field is a factor there. It's a huge factor there. So get ahead, and you know, it means have a good start and come out with those bats ready to go.
Mitch, going to go to football here. It's camp season. It's official visit time for Nebraska football. It's unofficial visit time. It's also offer time. And Daniel Kalen, quarterback out of Bell West, sophomore to be, got an offer from Florida State. Nebraska next in line. Also Jake Applegate. I've seen him a lot. He's a tremendous ball player from Southeast. Had his private workout today, and he also got an offer from Nebraska. Your reaction to a couple, these two offers, and just, you know, what's next for Nebraska? A couple coaches obviously on the road at some satellite camps, and then Friday's looming with some Friday night lights for Nebraska as well.
Yeah, a huge week to start off a huge month. Nebraska has a lot of ground to make up, as most programs do, but Nebraska more so because of how important it is for Nebraska to have kids on campus. That's priority number one in all things recruiting, is to get kids to come into your facility, and they've been robbed of that opportunity for the last 14, 15 months. So for other programs, you know, there are things that they can do there. They can recruit on their reputation. They can recruit on their current winning. And Nebraska hasn't been able to do that for the last year. So you're sitting with a couple commitments in the 22 class, and you know, a bunch of kids locally who are unsure about Nebraska. So not just Daniel Kalen in the 24 class, but he has a teammate, Davon Hall, who was offered last year, a big receiver from Bellevue West, who was offered last year during his freshman season by Iowa, then Nebraska. And with Kalen, it was Florida State yesterday, and then Nebraska coming in immediately after. You know, you'd like to see Nebraska offer these kids first, to be honest, instead of having Iowa and Florida State do it. But they reacted very quickly on both of these, and I don't think it matters in the end. Sometimes kids, you know, their heart, they have a special spot for the school that offers them first. And Nebraska obviously knew what it needed to know about Hall and about Kalen to make those offers. So I'd say, you know, go out and offer these local kids first. Because you got four kids from Omaha in this 2022 class who are no longer considering Nebraska, four-star players. So they have room to make up, not just nationally, but on the local scene. And, you know, it starts today, June 1st, doing that and bringing guys like Applegate in. So great that they did that on the first day. You can get a guy on campus. He's local. Bring him in. See what you need to see. There's no reason to wait. Make the offer, and he's a guy that Nebraska should get, I would expect. And that's turning in a right direction with this 22 class, and then also helping you out down the road with guys like Hall and Kalen up in Omaha.
Mitch, from that local prospect point of view, with kids now, are they just the world's a little smaller because of technology, where they'll hit camps, they'll follow programs that maybe in Ohio State, a Clemson, and Oklahoma, and then you just highlighted here the high level of talent in your backyard up in Omaha that aren't considering Nebraska. Is it as simple as just being better on the field for Nebraska to kind of rekindle some of that local interest?
I don't think it's simple. I think there's a number of things at work there. It's one, that these kids didn't grow up with Nebraska as a winning program, and some of you forget how young they are. And even the guys in the 22 class, you know, Nebraska's had five losing seasons in the last 6 years, and that puts those guys back in middle school, you know, almost in elementary school, before they saw Nebraska, since they saw Nebraska as a consistent winner. They may not even remember that. So that's some of it, absolutely. And then the environment over the last year plus is a huge factor, because it's taken distance out of the equation. You know, it's taken the opportunity away from these guys in the 22 class, and that, you know, now we're seeing the 24 class coming online, and of course there's guys in 23 too, Bramer, the tight end from Pierce, who has a Nebraska offer, who are also hot recruits here. They haven't had the opportunity to be on campus in Lincoln over the last year plus. So that's what they would have been doing. If all was well in the world, these guys would have been on campus at Nebraska for games, on unofficial visits. They'd have been at camp last summer. You know, they'd have come down on a on a Tuesday night when in the spring, or a Wednesday night in the spring when to see some of their old teammates from high school or friends from the, you know, the youth basketball circuit, whatever it might be. No kids on the Nebraska mm-hmm. football team, and they haven't had that opportunity. Nebraska hasn't had that opportunity. So those two things together have created a. Now the tape has been cut, so to speak, and you know, the race is on. So go ahead and get started with everything that you haven't been able to do for more than a year, and do it in short time, and we see that already in the works this week.
Good stuff, Mitch Sherman. Mitch, we'll get caught up again. Awesome work. Thanks for your time today, bud.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, apologies to the affiliates. We'll get synced up again, but awesome stuff from Mitch Sherman on Nebraska's, dare I say, battle in state for high level talent to keep that talent at Memorial Stadium. Check that full interview out from Mitch Sherman, ESPN Lincoln On Demand. Will Wilson will have that posted up also on Twitter at ESPN Lincoln. Give us a follow there. 466-377-6466-3776. 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Chris Schmidt, Will Wilson. So we spent plenty of time talking Nebraska baseball. We'll see how things shake out for the Huskers. And a good painting there from Mitch Sherman on just what Arkansas is all about and the task at hand for the Big Red. But their attitude is rock solid. So it is recruiting season, and it is time to go warp speed with it if you're Nebraska, not on your evaluations, but just you are going to try and cram in pandemic time with what you missed, and let's play some makeup. And Nebraska will do that. Applegate was on campus today. Jake Applegate, 6'4", 210, just a missile. Hell of a ball player from Lincoln Southeast, and he's been roaming that back seven and on the offensive side of the ball for Coach Katula for quite a while for the Knights. And Jake performed well, tested well, and got the offer. And the thing that is going to be interesting about Applegate is if he commits to Nebraska, where is he going to play? And I look at him as outside linebacker or tight end, because during his workout today, did run some routes, wide out, tight end. He's such a gifted athlete and is a kid that has played and contributed and starred at an early age for one of the top programs in the state. So with Applegate, you know, based on what I've watched, yeah, he's a difference maker wherever. I'll just say that. He's been good wherever he's lined up, Will. But I see if you could get him with his athleticism, what do you have on offense right now? On offense, it is all about getting that flex, kind of do-it-all type slot dude, be it a tight end or a flex, and get the mismatch with the size and the speed, and that works against. So that works against defenses, because most of your high-flying athletes go to the offensive side of the ball. Can you be a defense that counters? And I'm not comparing Jake Applegate to Simmons from Clemson. I am not. But from a stylistic standpoint, can you counter what the offense is trying to do mismatch-wise with your own freak athlete in the form of a Jake Applegate or a JoJo Doman?
When you covered him, did he play more of on the offense or defense?
He started both.
It was both. So in your eyes, I mean, defense or offense?
My eyes, let's play him on defense.
Okay.
I mean, he can sure as hell kick butt and take names for you on offense, but I think he could be special. Like Gifford, that mold. Luke Gifford, JoJo Doman. Get me a guy that's 6'4 and can move like he's 5'11, right, laterally, and then with that burst north to south. I mean, he's a big athlete, and he's physical. He is physical as all get out. Again, high school level, not talking Big Ten, right? Obvious jump, but I'm not worried about him making the jump. You know, he's a kid Nebraska's got to get. I'm glad they got him the offer. If you're a Nebraska fan, you want a yes. You want a yes right now. And Jake will do what's best for him, and that's awesome. But no, let me see him roaming off the edge to get after the quarterback, to provide coverage, and to do some TFL work for the black shirts. Interested in Daniel out of Bellevue West here, Kalen. Can't even read my own freaking writing. Sorry. Daniel Kalen. So this kid hasn't started, but he's played well at the JV level. You know, Bell West is just an insanely talented program. Coach Huffman is 6'2", 190. And Florida State has seen Kalen, and they saw enough of him at a stadium camp at Lucas Oil Field. That's in Indianapolis. That's where Big Ten Media Days will be there for that. But that's where one of the national camps were being held. And there was eyes on him and others. And there was a monster wow factor with how Kalen performed. If the kid's just going in to his sophomore year, you got to be in on quarterbacks early and you got to be right. Okay, you got to be first and you got to be right. And Florida State's there, and then Nebraska sees that. And then about 15 minutes later, bang, here comes the offer. Interesting story with Kalen as he was ready to go have some sweet treats with his family to celebrate, you know, my first Division I Power 5 offer. And then, you know, his head football coach is on the horn saying, yeah, Super Mario wants to talk to you. Can you call him? So there was a chat with Verduzco and Kalen. That happened. Nebraska got the offer. Nebraska will get a chance to no doubt get him to campus on some unofficials. Another kid just up the road, not as close as Applegate. But it's good that Nebraska is eyeing, you know, more in-state talent. And quite honestly, it's great that there's in-state talent at quarterback to look at, right? I mean, oh gosh, what's the kid's name that ended up playing at Idaho? Nate Enderle. I think he's a fifth-round pick of the Bears. He ended up going to Idaho, but he was a kid, Easton Stick, went up to North Dakota State. He's in the NFL. There's been some local quarterbacks that have gotten out of town, okay? But right now, it's nice that you've got a Harburg on campus, if you're Nebraska, from Kearney Catholic, and he's got a major ceiling if you're Nebraska, but you can't ever just wait too long on quarterbacks. That's one of the names you're going to be looking at here this Friday, as Richard Torres is going to be in town the 4th. He's one of the quarterbacks on Nebraska's board for 2022. Kid out of San Antonio, Texas. MJ Morris, the other kid you're hearing a lot about for 2022. Well, you're going to get the visit from Torres. You're going to get a chance to work him out, see him in action. His huddle film's phenomenal, but you'll get a chance to see him up close and personal. We'll wind down hour one. Charlie McBride's 15 minutes away. Coach Rick Kaczynski also next hour. It's Hale Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Good to see you on, or spend time with you. Tuesday, Hale Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Charlie McBride and Coach Rick Kaczynski. So, James Mond getting some interest at a visit from a blast from the past. This is one of Nebraska's top prospects there. Trying to get in the boat for this upcoming recruiting class. James Mond III, if you're a Nebraska football fan, you remember the name Wonder Mons, a all-world corner from the 70s and the best afro in college football. bar none. Cranach has a picture of Wonder Mons in his bathroom. We'll just let that marinate for you. But Charlton Warren in Indiana is visiting to say hey. So no doubt some competition there. So we'll continue to spend time on some Husker baseball. I'm sure Coach McBride maybe broke a remote. A steel chair may be dented with the Nebraska regional news. Coach McBride, maybe he took it okay. Not sure. You know, Will, what was your day like yesterday? We all had other things going on and weren't in, obviously, but I didn't think that. I was talking it over with Junior, and I'm like, you know, maybe they had to Austin. Maybe they're going out to Spokane, because we all saw different projections.
Right.
And, you know, it looked like Nebraska had moved away from going to Fayetteville because of how they finished the year, taking care of Indiana, taking care of Ohio State, and then taking 2 out of 3 against Michigan. Nebraska pretty much had to go freaking undefeated this year, it sounds like.
I wonder if, because, you know, we're talking about D1 baseball, Baseball America.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they kept in account the whole, region thing. You know, close to the regional, you know, the location and everything.
Travel, right.
Right. Like, that seemed like it was a big part to the NCAA, and it seemed like when we were looking at those projections, they were kind of fooling us in a sense.
Well, you would, from a regional standpoint, you want to send folks close. And it's a 7-hour bus ride. That bus ride will save money for the NCAA versus flying somewhere.
I mean,
Michigan and South Bend are three and a half hours away, I think. And then it's not a horrid trip to East Carolina for Maryland.
If location was the big thing, it seems like we were going to Arkansas no matter what, then.
No, because there's no one. Otherwise, send Nebraska to South Bend, but right. You're kind of, it's a longer trip. So
I was just confused.
No, and the bottom line is just let your teams play.
Right.
Let them play non-conference games, for the love of God. have a postseason tournament. I think this year's College World Series is going to be insane, though. Mm-hmm. Over under on SEC teams to make the CWS. Going with four out of the eight?
You're
going
four.
Six out of the eight?
I like four, and I'd maybe take the over.
Okay. So Will Wilson is setting the over-under on SEC teams in the College World Series at 4, and he's going over on that. We'll spend some time on recruiting, on camps, on evaluations, how many fish Coach McBride caught this weekend, and then some more recruiting with Coach Rick Kaczynski. You can send an email, get it to us, chris@halevarsity.com. Give us a follow on Twitter @Schmidt_radio, @WillieJRadio. That's where you find him on Twitter. And back with you, hour two. Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Oh, super. So, nobody, it was pretty cold. Not cold, but.
In at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Great to have you back. Hour two, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And we'll check in now with Mr. Blackshirt, a Monday move to Tuesday. Charlie McBride with us, a Tuesday with Charlie. Coach, how many fish did you catch over the weekend?
I didn't catch any. I worked.
Well, what'd you work on?
Well, there's a lot of kids on the lake with boats, but that's about it. The fishermen weren't even out. Labor Day, they stay away from it. Too much skiing and, so forth. So, my son was here for, my youngest son was here for a while and took him to the airport last night and sent him back to Arizona where he could get some heat.
I'd say he's got enough heat for all of us and we're finally going to warm up this weekend and have a full weekend of baseball. We were off, no baseball for us this past weekend, but I was talking to my Mitch Sherman. You remember Mitch? He was with us in hour one, and
Right.
I'm kind of excited to see just how tired my kid is when I get home before I take him to baseball, because he's had baseball camp today, he's had football camp today, and he's had basketball camp. So the trifecta happened. So,
yeah, well, he isn't going to want to move.
Well, I'm hoping they put him through some extensive conditioning today.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting out on our little deck out here, and the sun's out, and the water's still, and it's quiet.
That's a good thing, man, a little peace.
Yeah, well, that would help.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on Nebraska baseball before we dive into some football stuff. And I know you've been following Husker baseball this season, and, you know, not a great draw, but this baseball team's got a great mindset with Coach Bolton. Anything can happen. That's why you play the game. But do you have a reaction to I guess, the seeding, the placement in Fayetteville?
Well, they you know, for you know, new coaches and a lot of new players, mm-hmm. You know, it's that's the pretty big thing. I really think that, you know, that he's done an unbelievable job as far as getting the kids competitive and really playing hard and coming back. And when you see him come from behind, a lot of times they did that, and you know, that means that their mind is really in the game, and you know, it's important that they all kind of hang together, and you know, and they kind of get that vibes with each other. And I think they did that, and you know, he did a good job of pulling that string for sure. You know, I was really impressed with it. I thought over the years we got better, but you know, this was a big jump, and you know, I think it helps the whole university athletic department when you see something like that, because, you know, it's kind of been where Nebraska's really not expected to, they're just in the middle kind of, and things like that. And people are not people, but players are getting tired of that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think they saw something they could do, and they did. And that's what's the fun about the whole thing is you see it, you know, going. And I had a laugh. I was thinking last night, you know, national championships are great. And you think about it, they last one day and then it's over. It's, you got to win next year. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So it's just like Sunday, you win a game and Sunday you play in the next team. You forget about that. So that wasn't real exciting, you know? So, and kind of that's the thing that's hard about sports, you know, when you get that, it's now they're expected to do this, mm-hmm. and do that, and, you know, but it does start a tradition.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's nice to kind of get back to being a conference champ, where
yeah.
that was something that it happened and then you wanted it every year in baseball,
yeah.
versus stopping and realizing what just happened. Wow. They got that good, that quick, a few years back.
Well, the thing that's good about it is I think Coach Manning did a great job. Mm-hmm. I think the girl basketball program is
Coach
really
Williams,
getting
yes.
the volleyball. You know, they say it's a down year. I thought it was a great year. Mm-hmm. I mean, they say, well, they'll be better next year. Well, okay, but I enjoy, you know, they're competitors, and that's the whole thing about a lot of it. You know, they're not just walking, getting stoned, you mm-hmm. know, tough teams. But all of our sports have really gotten a lot better. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really have, and it's you know, it's that track we did. We got some great people that came up in track, and mm-hmm. you know, so. We'll see how it goes, but with football and basketball, and I think both of them are hopefully going to get, you know, make a big jump.
Well, that's just it. Football is on everyone's mind here, already counting down to kickoff, right, under 90 days. And what was that like for you, and what was that like for your kids having that expectation every year. Go win the Big Eight, go win the Big 12, and go win 11 games. Do it now.
I think once you know, we kind of set a precedent, and we looked at it like it got to a point where everybody's talking about winning the conference championship, and that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And we won some, but the thing was is we decided that maybe we ought to be looking at the national championship, because you have to win the conference championship to win the national championship. Well, why not go for the whole marbles, mm-hmm. you know? And kind of the conference championship in some ways kind of took a back seat to really, you know, really trying to win the whole thing. And, of course, when you do that, there's a lot of luck involved in it. People can say what they want, but, you know, there's a lot of teams that get beat. And, you know, nowadays, you know, there's a few teams that are just reloading, mm-hmm. maybe. And I don't know whether they said we reloaded, but I don't know if we just didn't coach the heck out of them, because there was a lot of kids that didn't have scholarships that ended up being great players. And, you know, and I really, you really think it was hard work by all of us as coaches that, you know, we really tried to make them better players, and it was, that was every day, and they fell into the same thoughts. They were trying to get to be better players, and they were. Mm. So I think you can do it a bunch of different ways, and I'm sure all the five stars we had were probably close to zero and none.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But and some we had, you know, we had Isaiah Hip, of course, show up. You know, I don't know how many running backs we had just appear, you know, that we really didn't recruit. And they end up being All-Americans and things like that. So, you know, that's why I say there's a little luck involved in it.
Well, the most famous walk-on ever, I Am Hip, and 1,000-yard rusher times two, and oh, by the way, let's go have an NFL career. That worked out pretty well. Coach Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie. We're talking to Coach on Tuesday with the holiday yesterday. Coach, take me through your process with the staff. How did you guys evaluate a kid? You'd see him in camp, or you'd go see him in person, you'd be on the road. And then you only had so many scholarships. Yeah, you developed the heck out of kids with the walk-on program. You had a wonderful practice blueprint where it was physical and everyone was getting reps. But when it came down to it, did everybody have to, I guess, vote or give your input on a kid with a specific position? Were you able to go say, this is who I want to offer, this is the kid I want to put on my defense, or did you have to kind of bounce it off other coaches and Coach Osborne?
Well, I think, you know, in a lot of cases, I think that maybe we weren't sure the kid may be an offensive or a defensive player, you know, in a lot of cases. And, you know, I think that, you know, some kids were recruited as offensive players and ended up playing on defense and vice versa. That mm-hmm. happened, you know, a number of times. I think, you know, you could say that. And, you know, usually, and it's really funny because it's, you know, when you look at the tight end position, some kids never got noted as the tight end, but they came in that way. I think mm-hmm. Keneally might have been one of them. And, you know, there were some guys, because they're the kids that are the big kids that are athletes, mm-hmm. you know, and they can move. You know, Terry could have played either side of the ball, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, Steinkuhler could have played either side of the ball, and Franowitz could have played either side. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. so, you know, it was just a matter of trying to get them in the right spot and you know, and it just, most of them just kind of fell in, you know, fell in the place as it went. A lot of kids came in here. We didn't know anything about them, really. But what we did in camps was there were some kids that were really ahead of others. Mm-hmm. Amon Green was by far one of them. I mean, he, you know, he came in, and I think he was running 4.3. And, you know, I laugh at him every time I see him. He probably was the best punter that we ever had in my years.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of NFL punters.
He said, no. He said, no way, coach. I don't want to be a punter. So that ended that show. But, he was quite an athlete. And you know, there were other guys, I mean, that were the same. But, you know, that was the way it kind of went. You the kids that were in camp, and we just got that little extra look at them and put them over the top, and Tom would offer them a scholarship. And, they'd take the trip up to the office and sit down with Tom, and he'd tell them. Now, a lot of the players were the fact that we just told them that they're going to be watched very closely. You know, I mean, there was a lot of players like that, you know, put them in that category. And we were lucky, I think, and of course we weren't the most famous people with all the other coaches in the state or South Dakota, because a lot of the kids were offered there and decided to walk on at Nebraska, and that's kind of a blow to some of the of the schools that wanted those kids. I think UNO was one of them at one time, and they ended up pretty much going to hockey and.
Right,
which is a good thing. Which is a real good thing. I think it's they set their niche, and I think they, their program's going pretty good. So, the kids in the state, you really tried to get early and a year or so in advance, if you can, know them. Some kids are ahead athletically, size wise, everything else. Every year there's somebody that is like that. You're going to offer next year and, things like that. I think it goes in every sport that way. I think especially in basketball, too. You can find some kids that are freshmen and sophomores that can really play, especially in basketball. Football, they have growing sometimes, getting bigger, getting maybe a little faster or something like that, and they do that. But it's a guessing game like it is in the NFL draft a lot of times. And, you try to do the best you can, and you really try to set your sights on their character and their grades and things like that. It's not just the football part. They have to fit into a bunch of different categories.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, you have a wonderful week. This was fascinating to hear about how you guys kind of sifted through the camps and the Amon Green. You would have, I'm sure, handed him the football, but asked him to kick, right? He wasn't just going to be a punter.
Our camp was a little bit more, it was more 4-day type of thing where we really got a chance to know the kids and really work them and find out a lot about them.
Well, that was beneficial, I'm sure. So, last thought here, about a minute. Are you going to go catch fish this week? Are you going to go do some fishing this week?
I haven't even yet. My job until the kids get here is to have all the rods and reels ready to roll and have new lines on them. So, I know I was thinking the other day I better go get some oil for some real, what they call real oil. I mean, it is fishing reel oil, and get everything ready to go so they aren't, Dad, you didn't do this, Dad, you didn't do that, that old trick.
you'll be ready, and they'll catch some fish.
You turn into the slave, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's nice you're letting them stay, right? I like that. Well, good enough. Coach, you have a good week, and thanks for making time today with us.
Yeah, and be nice to that son of yours. Don't get upset if he's tired now.
I'm a sweetheart compared to his mother. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. I know where that's coming from. Uh-huh. My mom was the whip of our family. Uh-huh. And she didn't say, if you got tired, that's too bad. Get up and go.
Yep. Mama Bear is going to be all over him tonight about what he didn't do. Coach, you take care. Thanks again.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye now.
Good stuff with Coach McBride.
And now, And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's time for a chat with Rick Kaczynski, Tuesdays with Kaz, defensive line coach for Nebraska and Iowa. Kaz, how you feeling here? It's already June. What are you doing, man?
Crazy June, man. Just came up on us quick, bro. Had a weekend off from baseball and track, and decided to put my son in a hoop tournament, AAU. Ooh. So, yeah, that was first and last. No, thank you. I thought the baseball parents were bad, let me tell you. And we'll go rec, Catholic league, or school league. We'll find something. I was talking to a guy down here, Kay Rich. He was a point guard for South Carolina. His son's getting recruited as a junior, and he goes, stay away from AAU. All due respect to any AAU guys out there, not bashing them. He said, not at that age, don't need it. So that was good advice. So I got my AAU experience in, and we're retired. Currently retired. Can always come out, but sure, right now sure. we're retired.
That's an interesting dynamic, man. Baseball parents versus AAU parents. And no one bumped into you at halftime wanting you to team hop, did they, with AAU?
I'm kind of
kidding.
Yeah, I tell you, though, it was good because, at baseball, he's always the biggest kid and stuff out there. So we played with some 12-year-old, 10-year-old kids. So got to see some big dudes, some dudes with some handle, got crossed over on a couple times, got his junk swatted into the wall. So it was good. It was a good lesson. No recruiting going on. So, but hey, let me tell you how to take the deal. Anybody got a deal out there, I'll take it.
Well, it is June. We'll get to the camp circuit and official visits and being on the road, recruiting in a moment. But we left off last week talking about that Nebraska baseball bandwagon, and I was hoping our dear friend Uncle Kaz could pull some strings for Nebraska. They got sent to Arkansas, man, the number one team, the number one seed in the country, and it's been a bash fest on the Big Ten, their treatment of baseball in the last 24 hours or so on social media, not just from irate Nebraska fans, but also the league only getting three teams in. And wow, what a draw. Now, Nebraska baseball and Coach Will Bolt, they're like, no worries, man. We're going to go do our thing. Their attitude's great. But it was interesting, to say the least, with the selection show yesterday.
Yeah, well, I think, there's always a little bit of bias, unless you're just off the charts when you're considered a cold weather team. There's a perception probably very similar to how the pack is viewed when it comes to football. But I think, as a coach, like Coach Bolt and the crew, you look at it as a great challenge, a great opportunity. So you got an opportunity to go down there, Fayetteville, and knock off Northeastern, and then go get after Arkansas. And still can't figure out the NJT. I don't know who
was
in there.
New Jersey Institute of Technology. You knew that there was an Institute of Technology other than MIT, didn't you?
Yeah, I was. I got to be honest with you. I know Jersey, okay. I never heard of that. So, they weren't recruiting me. I'm disappointed. Yeah, I think you just go look at a great, great challenge. That's all you can do. I mean, and really, it doesn't matter who you play, especially this time of the year. You're just happy to be playing. There's a lot of teams sitting at home. I mean, you got South Carolina. That's they're playing in Columbia without a baseball team. So, it's a good deal, man. It's great. It's great for Nebraska. It's a great opportunity for them. So they'll get a lot of attention because Arkansas is a great. That's what you want to be a part of. You want to go, but you can't control any of that. Mm-hmm. So let's not worry about it. And you can't worry about the conference. You can't change your geographics. You just gotta. If you're winning, doesn't matter whether you're in Alaska, Siberia, or Texas, or Florida, California, or Nebraska. So take advantage of that opportunity and go get some W's, man. But it's been, either way, it's just been a heck of a year. Just great for Coach Bold and Nebraska baseball.
Rick Kaczynski's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Kaz, how did you kind of set up your schedule during the summer when it came to trips and going out and seeing kids, and then also figuring out a way for kids to get in and participate in camp so you could get an up-close look at some of the future talent out there?
Well, Schmitty, back then the calendar was a lot different. The way we did it, we had we'd go out for 2 weeks and kind of in your area, come back, and we'd take a week off as a staff and just watch a bunch of guys and try to figure out where we need to target next. And then the next 2 weeks, kind of went out by position and tried to recruit kids to the campus that you wanted to see. A lot of times the guys, you already knew they could play. You didn't need them at camp. You were just trying to get to that big red weekend, just get them on campus in a low-pressure atmosphere, kind of show things off, get them around the players, get them around our families, where it's just relaxed and great time with great weather and showing off the facilities in the town. So you kind of use that last 2 weeks to just, figure out who you had an opportunity to get. Go through the coach, try to see if you get the families out there, because that's when people are scheduling their vacations. A lot of the guys that we recruited coming from distance, their families made it a destination. They made it a vacation, had opportunities, take time that part of the year to come out, maybe drive out 2-3 days and hit some schools along the way. And then the camps were right after we got back. So we were always done. We were done before Father's Day. We had Big Red Weekend there, and then Father's Day we started our vacation. It was just a completely different calendar. You had dead periods, you couldn't have kids on campus after that. So that's how we timed everything. This is a zoo now, with the early signing, the visits. And I know these guys caught a break last year with COVID, but man, I wouldn't want to be a coach this June. Be out of control.
That's my thought is how do you navigate, because it was, all right, you can do nothing except Zoom and do virtual visits, right? You can keep in contact with kids from an iPhone, right? But now, mm-hmm. now you get to see them in person, and there's got to be some urgency all over football offices, just because now you can go do versus being on the shelf for such a while. Man, you are right about it being a zoo, and I know Nebraska's had some individual workouts. They've made some offers. Some of the coaches are on the road now. Coach, what were some of your regions, and kind of take us through your connections as far as how you were able to kind of get a foothold in some pretty good areas?
Well, when I first started out, I was sent you far away. So usually the young coaches go to the places that are a little bit harder to get to. And that was at Iowa. I went down to Florida. And that was, Florida's oversaturated, or it was when I was there. You got every coach in the country down there. And, the further away you get from campus, the less you know about the coaches, the less you know about the program, the less you know about the kids. And it's a lot easier for a coach to sell you a bill of goods because he's not in state, and even he may piss you off. There'll be 100 other coaches that'll come back the next year if he sold you a bill of goods on a kid. So as I matured a little bit, got a little bit older, talking with Coach Ells and where I felt comfortable, I always got in direct flight areas, because I knew if it was tough for me to get to, I knew it was going to be tough for kids to get, to get back to, the campus we were coming from. So, look at direct flights, Dallas, Atlanta, Cincinnati out of Omaha. So that's what we started hitting. I'd always get into Western PA a little bit, just because you had some ties there, mm-hmm. Eastern Ohio, because of the connections with Bo. But more of those were just kind of targeted. You went and hit some guys, and you knew the programs, you knew the coaches, and you could just make a call. Coach, tell me about this kid. Hey, great player, he's got no grades. Or hey, this kid, hey, he's getting over recruited, let him go there. Mm-hmm. Or this kid's brother played here, you got no chance at him. So just kind of the big part of it back then was just, and now that's not changed, is being efficient. But I was all over the place. And then what I liked about Nebraska, we recruited a lot by position. So, I mean, there was 1 week, and I ended up it was crazy. Schmidt went from, I think I went from Denver to Salt Lake, and you can help me out if I got those places mixed up on a map, but I don't know where I went first. I don't know if I went to Salt Lake or Denver first, and then San Fran to Hawaii, Hawaii to Phoenix, Phoenix to Fort Lauderdale, and then I'm jogging on the beach, and who do I see at 6 in the morning? Ron Brown. And we're sitting there saying, what the hell? What are you doing here? So fortunately, we ran into each other because we were both going to see the same kid out of high school, which would have probably been a violation back then. So, I rearranged my day. But, you know, you just kind of, yeah, the big thing, especially at a place like Nebraska where you're recruiting nationally, it was about being efficient, you know, narrowing down your targets. You know, I'm coming out of spring trying to get 10 guys to visit and having about 20 guys on your radar that you think can play and that you have a shot at. You know, it's not going after the guys that have a Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State offer. Everybody's going after those guys. And those guys are hard to get. Doesn't mean you can't get them, but you guys have some type of tie or connection to them. So the big, what I tried to do is say, okay, this guy here, all right, we got a chance at it. And also, what made it easy for me is I was in a position the whole time I coached. I didn't need guys to play right away, you know, with the exception of Randy. And when you have a good program, that's how it should be. If you're counting on freshmen to come in and actually make a difference where you're counting on them, you know, there's guys that can come in and help you win, but you don't want freshmen that you have to count on because it's just the game's just too fast and you just don't know enough about the guys. There's just not enough work that you can get in with them before you play your first game. So if you're at a place where you're counting on guys that are in high school when you're recruiting in May, you're not where you need to be. So that took a little bit of the pressure off, and you know, I got guys. So I was able to look at a guy like a Mike Daniels that's, you know, 5'11", 6', 225, and say, I can make this guy a player in 3 years. Or I can look at a Kevin Maurice and say, yeah, this guy will be able to help us. So, you know, you don't have that pressure of having to sign these, you know, five-star, you know, Under Armour model-looking type guys that you're counting on playing against Michigan and in Wisconsin the day they walk on campus. So that's kind of how I did it, brother. Did okay for me.
I'd say so. A lot of guys playing on Sundays, Kaz.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Rick Kavinsky's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Kaz, interested in the state of Texas and your take on the state of Texas from a recruiting standpoint. And for years, Nebraska did well. They did well in Texas, and guys they got from Texas not only played but thrived. And there were still some Texas kids when you were at Nebraska. Of course, the transition to the Big Ten happened. You had kind of the emergence of a couple of programs in a TCU and a Baylor, and even Houston, quite frankly, that they were not what they had been, right? Or they have a chance to be a, you know, an 8-9-10 win team, it feels like, in a given year. Touch on that transition from league in the Big 12 to the Big 10, and then just in your opinion, or just set me straight on just how did it become more difficult to do well in Texas years down the road for Nebraska?
You know, I don't want to use it as a crutch or an excuse. I don't think it affected you a whole. I think what happened more, I think Texas just became like another Florida and California, where all of a sudden it became oversaturated with coaches. Mm. And those Texas kids were before. I don't think Nebraska changed. I know we didn't change our philosophy on recruiting Texas. I think what you saw is a change in the Texas kids and Texas coaches, where kids start going everywhere. You'd have kids leaving Texas going all over the country. You know, they're going to the Big Ten. They're going, you know, they're going to the SEC. So, you know, we would go down there once again, direct flights. But it really was oversaturated. And what you saw, the great thing, the double-edged sword with Texas is because of the high school programs, the importance, the facilities, the head coaching, the coaching staff that you have, the weight programs. You know, what you see is kind of what you get. What I felt was that these Texas kids, they were so developed in high school. It was a little bit tougher to find that diamond in the rough because they were so well coached and so developed in the weight room. So you just didn't find those kids, like you did in Jersey or Florida and those type of places. So I think it hurt a little bit, obviously, because, you know, parents want to see their kids play. And, you know, if the closest place that you'll be playing is Nebraska in the Big Ten and you're from Texas, man, that becomes a tough sell, and people use that against you. And I just think that not having quite as much, not having that presence as you did on national TV or playing the other Texas schools, it absolutely affects you. You know, you got generations that remember those rivalries against those teams. And then you lost your presence when you play in the Big 12 or in the Big 10. You know, you become a cold weather team. So I think, you know, those kids in Texas that used to, you know, look at Nebraska, you had that association, you had that marriage. You say, okay, you know, playing against kids that they know. Well, that doesn't necessarily happen anymore when you join the Big 10. And it's a different league. It's a defense. It's an offensive league. It's different style, different personnel, different coaching. And I don't think Nebraska changed their philosophy. I just think that the state of Texas changed and kids started going other places. But and I think the only thing that hurt Nebraska is the exposure that they would normally get playing in the Big 12 down in that state.
A&M going to the SEC, did that kick the door open for the rest of the SEC to hit Texas? Or I mean, to me, LSU had always been doing well in Texas, right, when they wanted to. Arkansas would do well in Texas, you know, from a region standpoint. Texas always going to get visits from Oklahoma and their staffs, be it Okie State or Oklahoma. But, you know, Ohio State would go get quarterbacks from Texas from time to time. But A&M's leap under the SEC, was that kind of a difference maker too?
Oh, I think it definitely was a difference maker. Because now what you started to get is exposure of a Texas school to kids on the East Coast, to Florida kids, to Georgia kids, to North Carolina, South Carolina kids. So, oh man, coming into town and beating up on South Carolina in their backyard. So, hey, let's look at this school. Now, you also, I think that was a big recruiting tool for Texas A&M and the AD to bring Jimbo there, because Jimbo has so many ties to the SEC and to Louisiana schools, Georgia schools, Alabama, and Florida. I mean, that's where he made his hay. And, you know, obviously being the head coach at Florida State, so I think that was critical. I think Florida State obviously made a poor decision not giving that guy whatever he wanted and figuring out a way to lock him down. In Texas, A&M did the great thing by, you know, having that vision, knowing how this league was going to go, and having a coach who had been in that part of the country. Once again, Schmitty, it comes down to, hey, this kid, knowing kids from this school will leave the state of Florida, knowing kids from this school will leave the state of Georgia, knowing that you can beat LSU on this school in Louisiana, but not at this school. So I think that's what's really helped A&M, is a guy like Jimbo being able to target. You can't be dumb about it. You got to be efficient. You got to know who you're going at. But also just the SEC. I mean, it's a huge selling point with the national championships in the NFL. So that's universal. I mean, you look at Clemson and the ACC going to the playoffs. They're killing it in California. Yeah, I talked to Coach Ford. And, you know, they never went out to California. You know, they'd go up to Pennsylvania, get linemen, and everybody else who was in, it was in bordering states. And I mean, you got kids coming from Hawaii, California, Arizona, to Clemson. So, you know, the country has shrunk. And, you know, this playoff, this 4-team playoff, kids want to go where they got an opportunity in the 4 years that they're going to be there to win a championship. And I think that when you look at A&M, that's what Jimbo's selling. You know, he's not too far removed from a national championship, and I think he's building that program in the right way. So it's a real easy sell to kids. And A&M, it's, you know, you get a kid there on campus for a game day, that's a heck of an experience. So, I think when A&M joined the SEC, you know, extended that arm. But I think what they did a really, really good job of is getting a guy that had ties to the Southeast. Because there's too many people coming to Texas. If you're at A&M and you're at Texas, I don't think you can recruit just Texas anymore, because Baylor, Texas Tech, all those other schools that have come, you know, TCU, those schools you didn't have to compete with, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago, you know. So I think that's really helping Texas A&M is with getting Jimbo and his ties to the Southeast.
Rick Kaczynski with us. Kaz, thanks for chatting some recruiting. Enjoy baseball and non-AAU weekends. We'll do this again, man.
You got it, partner. Appreciate you having me on.
Good stuff from Kaz as we wind down a Tuesday. Pat Casey, former head coach of Oregon State and three-time national champion, get his take on the Arkansas Regional. Nebraska will bolt tomorrow. We'll spend some time with Mike Babcock. Babbers was hot about Nebraska's placement. A reminder, 70% of people in fatal crashes in Nebraska not wearing a seatbelt if used properly. Seatbelts can reduce the risk of fatal injury by up to 60%. Buckle up. Brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. Some final thoughts on the way.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, it's Hail Varsity, Tuesday edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman, Charlie McBride, Rick Kaczynski, Will Wilson in today. And let's dive into the why, right? Why did Nebraska get seated where they're seated? We spent a lot of time talking baseball and love Nebraska's attitude. Bring it on. Let's see how Friday and the weekend holds up down in Fayetteville. And this is the selection committee with the NCAA baseball, part of the NCAA, Jeff Altieri. His take on why Nebraska, why Arkansas?
Maybe, and I hate to give you such a definitive answer. But I do know that somebody's got to play Arkansas, and they set themselves apart in the SEC. When we looked at the overall field, we try to balance the field. So we look at the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in every bracket that we have, and we try to give an assessment of, in the totality, is that a fair bracket? The fours are in there as well, and we try to make sure that that's a good total region. And when we looked at that number one region with Arkansas in it, we spent a great deal of time and actually flipped out multiple teams in that region until we ended up with this assessment.
Okay. So there's their assessment. Your league sucked for not letting you play non-conference games or a postseason tournament. That's translation.
Just say that.
No.
Saves us a minute a show.
Your commissioner is a puppet, and the chancellors and league presidents not wearing red and white are all goons. They like field hockey or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Or lacrosse. And no knocking lacrosse. Those are some tough SOBs. And I mean that lovingly. But clearly, it's just softball. It's just baseball. Forget about it. There.
Next
there's
year.
There's your answer. Yeah. There's your answer. Do your job. play good baseball, see where the chips fall. All right, tomorrow, Pat Casey, excited to talk to the former Oregon State three-time national champion head coach, Hall of Famer. We'll spend time with Mike Babcock. We'll see if Shuey can get away from the tee box. Wilderness Ridge Golf. And are you in tomorrow?
I will be here.
Really?
Yes, sir.
So is he off camping and
so he had to go up
smuggling
to
balloons and all that good stuff in Colorado?
Doing something somewhere, man. Couldn't tell
him.
You what, yeah.
Well, I mean, he was best man in his brother's wedding over the weekend. And he got that bachelor party planned out, which was good. And then he got the old, did you hear how the speech went?
No. I haven't. Have you?
No, I'm just wondering. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Wedding Crashers, where Mitch gets up and starts talking about, you know,
well, we don't know.
Coming back from a conference.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, those things can go either perfectly or horribly wrong.
As long as you make it home.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll get Will Wilson. His mullet will be fed and watered tomorrow, ready for another show. Can you wear any more throwback lids?
I got this.
Do you have another one? This is an old school Nebraska 94 hat. Do you have a big 8-1? Is there a third?
Let me see what I could do.
All right. Will Wilson tomorrow. Chris Schmidt, talk to you at 4. Thanks.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report.
I'm not sure what was more juvenile this weekend.